All right, let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for the way that you speak to us, and sometimes even the painful ways where we walk into a door, whether it be physically or spiritually, and we get that wake-up call. We get that aha moment. We get that moment where you go, okay, yeah, God's got this, and I can walk in this, and I can be in this strength. So, Father, I want to thank you that you are with us. Speak to us through your word today. May this passage from Luke chapter 24 be something incredible and significant to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Now, as Brendan brought last week about the two brothers on the way to Emmaus, and then Jesus came and walked next to them, which is amazing, isn't it, that he got to walk all that way with them. They didn't know who he was. They didn't get a sense of it. I was walking on the beach yesterday, and one of the families from Mainly Music, I had my dark sunglasses on and a cap on, and I saw them coming towards me, and they didn't recognize me. And so I stood in front of them, and they literally walked into me and were about to say something really nice to me. And then they looked at me a bit closer and they went, "Donnie." And I went, "Yes." And they went, "Oh." And then I got big hugs and everything. We caused a jam on the area where people were walking on the sand. But these guys are walking with Jesus, and they didn't see it right till the very end when they're having communion together, and they recognized, or their eyes were opened. Now, these two brothers, they got up on their feet and they ran all the way back, and they got to Jerusalem, back where the disciples were. And in Luke 24 verse 36 is where we're reading from. Luke 24 verse 36. Now, as they were saying these things, so these two guys were telling them the story. They were saying what had happened. They were passing on the good news of their experience that day. And you could imagine they were probably a little bit tired. They'd done all that walking backwards and forwards. I was a bit tired last night and only had done 11 Ks on the beach yesterday. So they were tired. They were had it, but they were up. They were pumped. They were excited. Jesus was alive, and they'd seen him, and he'd spoken to them, and their eyes were opened, and they were telling the disciples all about it. Am I painting the picture for what's going on in the room? You get it? This is an up time. This is excitement. There's something happening. Now, as these things were being said, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Doors locked, windows shut. These guys are going on about this incident, and all of a sudden, dunk, there's Jesus. There is Jesus. And these are the words he says. He says, "Peace to you. Peace to you." That beautiful, welcoming peace. And that's the phrase. It is. It's peace to you. It's like in the Hebrew, it's shalom. It's that welcoming. It's that peace that is a bond peace. It's this really incredible peace. In fact, many of you will know it. It's in John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but do I give you. Let your heart not be troubled. Let not you be afraid." So this is the peace Jesus talked about in John chapter 14. And he says, "Peace, I give it to you, peace." And here he stands before him and he says, "Peace." Now, I also like the part in Luke chapter 1 verse 79 where it says, and this is Zechariah's prophetic word, and it says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Isn't that good? This is who this Jesus is. He is the one who will bring a light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Not just a word of peace, but a way of peace, a lifestyle of peace. Now, this weight on this peace is something incredible. I really want you to grab hold of this, because Jesus stands there and he says, "Peace to you." But this Jesus that's standing there is not the Jesus from John chapter 14. Well, he is the Jesus, the same Jesus, just in case I'm communicating badly. It is the same Jesus. But there's something different about this Jesus, you know? Like, if I went out into the bush with Jamie and Michaela when they were little, and there was some really bad noises out there, and I told the girls about drop bears and all that sort of stuff and tried to scare them so that they didn't leave the tent and get attacked by drop bears. And so even to the point where when they went to America, they told all the Americans about drop bears and had pictures of koalas with great big fangs and blood on them. So it was obviously very good. But if they were really panicking and I said to them, "Peace be upon you, little girls, I will take care of the drop bears." Now, that's one thing. But if I actually go outside and really do take care of the drop bears, I meet them face to face, I dare, and we deal with it, and then I come back in, that peace means something different, doesn't it? Dad did do it. He wasn't just talking about it. He did go and do it. Well, here we have Jesus, who is the risen Jesus. Jesus. He is the one who has defeated death. The devil has a crushed head right now. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the peace that wants to be in our lives as a result of the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, love, joy, and peace. This week I've had the opportunity to pray for two people who were having some terrible stuff happening. And one of the parts of the prayer was I prayed God's peace. Now both those people texted me later and went, wow, that prayer of peace was really cool. God did enter my life and brought that peace into that situation. Isn't that good? This is what we get to do as disciples of Jesus. We don't get to have Jesus just stand up in our lives and say, peace be to you. We get to be a part of the ones who give peace, to pray peace into those situations. That's exciting to me. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Death has been defeated. The devil has a crushed head. And this is an important moment for the disciples to know peace be with you. And it's important for us to get this as well. Let's pray. God, I am sorry that I have forgotten about you when I feel I don't need you. I've enjoyed your gifts more than I've enjoyed your presence and your peace. I've depended on myself more than I've depended on you. Help me to be closer to you. Give me the peace of your presence. I know that I am of great worth to you as your child. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. And thank you that from this peace comes your joy. Thank you for the favor that lasts on us. In your name. Amen. All right, let's get back to the Bible reading. But they were terrified, frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. So here's Jesus pronouncing peace, but they hadn't got the message. They haven't heard my message. They didn't understand that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. They didn't understand that death was defeated. They're still living in this fear. They're in a locked room, windows shut, and they think Jesus is a ghost. They're panicking. They're terrified. Could you imagine Jesus at this time? There's a word that is often said in our household, and it's only a word, but it has so many meanings. Do you know those sort of words? Well, I can imagine Jesus looking at the disciples and going, really? Really? You know? Like, the word really is just one word. It's really. But it can mean so many things. Really? Really? You know? It could mean so many different things, the way we say it. And then he rose and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your hearts? See my hands and feet? It is me. I'm real. And he's trying to bring faith into their situation so that they understand what's going on. Sometimes we need that same faith into the situations, knowing that the real Jesus is with us. The resurrected Jesus, the Prince of Peace Jesus, is walking in and with us. And then he says, come, handle me, hug me, and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as I say I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy, and yet they marveled, he said to them, he's almost exasperated, don't you think? Come on, I've told you, there's the scars, come on, I've shown you, don't you guys get this? I am resurrected, this is the newness, this is a new day for you. And they're still terrified. They're still not getting it. I wonder sometimes as we as a church that we don't get it. So Jesus goes and says, okay, have you got any food? And so they gave him some boiled fish and some honeycomb. That's a different combination, boiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. So he's trying to show them that ghosts don't need food. He's trying to show them the resurrected body. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So he's saying to them, this is it. This is all that's happening. So everything from the Old Testament, well, probably didn't say the Old Testament because they didn't know that one. But he said these things, the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Now, according to Barnes and a whole bunch of other scholarly folk, the law of Moses are the five books of Moses. The Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Among the Jews, this is called the first division of the Old Testament and is also called the law. And it has a whole bunch of other words, yes. But it's also called the law. The prophets, this is the second largest part of the Hebrew scriptures. It is comprised of the books of Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. They were called the former prophets. And then there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the 12 smaller books from Daniel to Malachi, which were all called the latter prophets. So you get the idea that this is, Jesus is not just talking about a little bit of the Bible. He's saying, this is what I'm going, and this is what has been said, and every prophecy had to be fulfilled, and we're at that point right now, folk. This is a significant time. And then he said the Psalms. Now, most of you may be like me, went, the Psalms? Oh, yeah, cool. 150 chapters. No, the Psalms didn't mean that either, because as you read, they've got some fancy names here. The Holy Writings consisted of the Psalms, Proverbs, the Book of Job, the Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the two books called the Chronicles. So they made up the whole area. And he opened their understanding. This is back to your Bible reading. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So he said peace. He's proven that he's not a ghost. And now he opens their minds that they might comprehend the scriptures. That's a significant verse. And in my interpretation, they got it. They hit that glass door. They went, oh, it made sense. All of a sudden, their eyes were opened. Could you imagine the two brothers who walked with Jesus? They go, how cool is this? We've just had our eyes opened and it's happening again. Now it's our minds and we're getting to know the whole scriptures a second time. Amazing. Do you believe my interpretation? Well, let me explain it via other big words from, again, from other well-quoted people. This is a quote from Barnes. He says this about this passage that I just read. Their prejudice were now, by his instructions and by the facts, which they could no longer call into question, removed. And they no longer doubted that he was the Messiah, for all the facts in the case had been put before them, and they had been confounded, and they could easily now account for all these facts. You know what that means? They got it. They understood. It made sense. And if you don't believe me, here's another statement. It says, a statement of unspeakable value expressing on one hand Christ's immediate access to the human spirit and absolute power over it, to the adjustment of its vision and the permanent rectification of spiritual discernment, than which it is impossible to conceive to a stronger evidence of this proper divinity. And on the other hand, making it certain that the manner of interpreting the Old Testament, which the apostles afterwards employed in the direct sanctification and presentation of Jesus Christ himself. Really? Exactly. In other words, that's all those words. They got it. They understood it. And they didn't just go, aha. They went, aha. We can do this. All those scriptures are about this moment, are about this Jesus, are about this resurrected man standing in front of us. Now, some of you may have picked up that I'm using a different translation than I normally do. And it just happened to be the way. I've read a whole bunch of different translations on this passage this week, and the last one I read was the New King James Version. And so when I was putting my notes together, that's the passage that was there. When I came to this last verse, I tried to find a different passage because the New King James goes a little bit old school here. And it may be a bit complicated, but I actually just love the way the New King James reads this. This is the next verse. Ready? Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Isn't that cool? Thus it was written. Thus, everything that's just been expanded to, everything you understand now, everything that you've got was written so that I would go to the cross. So that I would die on the cross and that I would rise again 3 days later, Jesus is saying. And then he says the next bit, and you're going to get this bit. He says this, and this is so that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, starting at Jerusalem. See, Jesus is giving him a task to do. And you know what? Jesus wasn't just giving them a task to do. Guess who else he was giving it to? Us. Us. As the followers of Jesus Christ. To go into all the world. Beginning at Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't mean that we all jump on a plane, because we can't. Literally, we can't. And go to Jerusalem. But this is our Jerusalem. This is where we start. This is our oikos. This is our backyard. This is where we share the good news for repentance and remission of sins. This is where we draw the line in the sand. And Jesus says, "For you are my witnesses of these things." We are witnesses. We know the scriptures. We can read them. And many of you have read them back to front many, many times. But not only that, we are witnesses to what God is doing right here and right now. When God was ministering to me at camp, conference is grown-up camp. When I was getting ministered, I'd come home and poor Cynthia would be told all about it for the next hour. And I'd be telling her how I walked into the door and this happened. And God said, and I stood up and these people came and prayed for me. And this is what was said. And oh boy, the Lord just whacked me. He touched me. You know, every night I'd come home and Cynthia would go, "Turn the TV off. Okay, what happened today?" She was a witness to what I was witnessing, to the work of God. And I believe Jesus is at work every single day in our lives, and that gives us a witness to be about, that we can share stories about what God is doing right here and right now. And he says, "Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So Luke is saying, but wait, because there is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But wait until the promise of the Father. Now we know the story. We know the book of Acts. We know that all God breaks loose. And it's time for us to understand that all God breaks loose in us. And that we are to go and be who God has called us to be. Now on this journey I'm on in the area of prayer, some of you have grabbed hold of different prayer points, and some of you are grabbing hold of the 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world in Ramadan. It's really incredible. Lebanon is going through drought and aspects of lots of bad stuff happening there. And they're in Ramadan, and they, at the end of the day, they don't have a lot of money to buy food, because at the end of the day is when they eat. And so there's a little bit of starvation going on in Lebanon. So there's lots for us to pray into this big world that we call home. But one of the aspects I've been doing, and God's been leading me in, is finding prayers. I've found some prayers of a 20-year-old I've just gone blank. Washington. What's Washington's first name, Dave? George. Donald George. Yeah, okay. George Washington, a 20-year-old George Washington, his prayer book. There's a whole bunch of his prayers. And he prays thee, thou, thee, and duck, and deacon, duck. So I have to translate it into a language I can understand. But his prayers are amazing. And one of my prayer books that I read just recently had a prayer from another guy that some of you might know from history. Sir Francis Drake. There you go. He wrote this prayer, and this prayer has been printed out in Australian language at the back if you'd like to grab hold of it and pray it through. For those watching online, I will put this up at the end of the service so that you too can see it and have a look at it. And I challenge you, if you want, to go through and read it slowly. I will read through once and then I'll close in prayer. Francis Drake says this prayer. He says, "Disturb us, Lord." You still with me? You want to be disturbed? We're talking about dangerous prayers, aren't we? "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when the abundance of the things that we possess, that we have lost our thirst for the waters of life, having fallen in love with life itself, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of heaven to perish. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of the land will help us to see the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this opportunity of being challenged by your word. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you took the opportunity to share with your disciples and to open their minds and open their eyes to the truth of the scriptures, to the truth about you, the risen Jesus. who brings hope and peace into our lives. Father, we take a step of faith today. We do not want to shrink back. We don't not want to sail too close to the shore. We want to go out into the deep waters. We want to be obedient to the call. I thank you for Annette, who in the comfortableness of her devotionals heard you speak to her into an area that was and is uncomfortable. So thank you for her faithful step. Father, for all of us, may we continue to hear your voice and be filled with faith and peace to step forward in obedience to what you have for us. For we are called to be your witnesses, to share about repentance and the remission of sin in and through our community. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.